Blog Talk Radio.
With Angela Butler. Today the interview is with Mr. Terry Moore. Mr. Terry Moore was in Apollo Creed. Mr. Terry Moore is an actor. That was not his first Apollo Creed. He's also been in other movies as we will talk about later on in the show. Good afternoon, Mr. Terry.
How you doing? Hello?
I'm doing all right, sir. I'm here, sir. How's everything going?
Everything's going well. I'm glad to finally get to do an interview with you.
Me too. So many things have been going wrong here since the Hurricane Michael here in the Panhandle of Florida. You may have never heard of this place, but it killed quite a few people.
Oh, I think I heard mention of that. I mean, yeah, I mean, down that end, you know, a lot of hurricanes and stuff come, especially through that that time, you know, that time of year through the summer, and, you know. But I'm, you know, everybody's in prayer. I hope glad you made it out all right and so forth.
Yeah, I'm just having a lot of electrical problems with things and such on, but that's not your problem, Mr. Star.
No, I'm still here.
Yeah,
I'm still a human being.
Star.
Still worry about people.
Yeah, you're a star. You definitely are a star. So how's everything going? Besides the great films, and how's the weather there where you're at? I believe you're in Philadelphia?
Yeah, the weather is a bit funny. It has this 1 minute, it'll snow, and it's cold, and it's warm, and it's raining. So as of right now, it's pretty decent, you know what I mean? So you just got to, you know, go with whatever the Mother Nature gives you.
Appreciate Miss Yolanda McIntosh, the CEO of Staff for Emma Magazine and publicist, helping me with this interview.
Yeah,
with
she,
you.
Yeah, my publicist. Yeah, she's great at what she do. I love her to death. She's a grinder. I can say that.
She's a grinder. She's good too. She's good
yeah.
too. She's really good. Yes. So how was it working in the Apollo, you know, the Rocky movie, as I call it, Apollo Creed and Apollo 3 and all these different Apollos? How was it? Just tell me about
it. I mean,
and not the first one you worked on in Apollo
Creed. The second one. Getting both of them were all right. The second was a little bit more live, but it was tiresome because, I mean, I would go in 4 o'clock in the morning and probably won't leave till like 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock that night. And you know, like I said, you know, you're doing the same thing consistently for that long period of time, and you get tired. You get breaks in between, but outside of that, I mean, it was fun. I mean, I got to meet Sly. For those who don't know, Sylvester Stallone. I got to meet Michael B. Ivan Drago, all the characters. Yeah. Huh?
Okay. Huh?
So yeah, I got to meet all of those guys, and it was fun. They were cool, down to earth people. You know what I mean?
They were down to earth.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah, you know.
And you're so, down to earth too. You are. I can tell by just talking to you that you're very down to earth also.
Yeah, I mean, I don't let my career define me and who I am. I define it because a lot of people, you know, if they get a little bit of buzz, a little bit of fame, a little bit of money, you'll see the attitude changes, and it don't change for the good, it changes for the worse. And me, I'm not that type of guy that, oh, you know, you can't talk to me now because I played in a few movies, or I'm up and coming, or I've done this. No, I tell people all the time, even on my Facebook and my social media, those who follow me, you can ask me any question, even though it's stupid, I still might answer it. But like I said, I'm not that guy to like, oh, you know, get away from me, you know what I mean?
Oh, people actually like that. Yeah, people can be very, I don't know what's the word for it, but I guess it would be
stuck up. Stuck up with the word.
Yeah, okay. All right, so besides, did you get to meet Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah, I met him. I actually, you know, on a couple of the rehearsing parts, you know, I sat beside him. Like I said, I met Michael B. I met Ivan, the Russian guy that played in Rocky. I met the guy that played his son. I met Tessa, the one that played Michael B. Jordan's girlfriend. Like I said, the great cast.
Oh, wow. Wow. So this is, what was it like in the first one, the first film that you played in?
The first one, I met Sly. That was the first time I met him. And I met, again, Michael B. and Tessa. I met them. Like I said, it was basically like the second one, not as exciting because this one, the second was more exciting because I got a lot more people. You know, a lot of more of the main big time actors and actresses were there, so it made it more fun. It made it more alive. It just the energy was there on the second one. The first one was, you know, it was exciting because you're here now. You're dealing, you know what I mean? But like I said, the second one to me was better because it was just more energy, just more people there. You know what I mean?
Even though I was tired,
it was like on set for almost like 14 hours, but you know, like I said, the you know,
14-hour days. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and I tell people all the time when you go on set, you may have a big, small part or whatever your part may be, and you'll do that same part. You can have a 5-minute part, and you'll do that same part for 12, anywhere from 10 to 14 hours, sometimes longer. Whatever they decide to do, they keep saying, "Let's do it again. Do it again. Do it again." It's not nothing that you're doing wrong. Sometimes it just could be that they want it from a different perspective, from a different angle, and then they might shoot something in different with that and then shoot something different. So it's us a lot to go on. It's not just, you know, for those who want to think about being an actor or actress, it's not just coming in, remembering your lines and say a few words and put a feeling in or a little feeling in and you just going about your way. No, it don't work like that.
Oh, okay. Yes, I know. I've been in a few movies. I was in Madea Goes to Jail years ago with Mr. Tyler Perry, and the most recent thing I've been in is the Bobby Brown movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you had stayed on set for long hours too, right?
Sir.
No, I said you had, and each of those you had to stay on set for a long period of time as well.
Yeah, about 12 to 14 hours. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I was on set a very long time. It was a lot of work too, but I didn't work the whole time. But I was paid for the whole time, so that made it even better.
Yeah, they'll make sure you're comfortable, you know, get feed you and so forth. Yeah, I mean, there was a couple of times on break I was falling asleep, but you know, as soon as that green light shows, I'm ready.
Well, you know, I'm glad they paid that way, because it wouldn't be worth it for me to be in the films if they didn't. So,
right.
You know, I was
right.
mainly an
right.
extra. I don't have name credit in Madea Goes to Jail, Laura Greenleaf, or Mr. Bobby Brown's movie, or any of those movies, Divorce Court either, none of those things. But I had took about a 3 to 4 year break. I didn't start back until like 2016 or 2017. So, but I had been doing it since 2006, 2007. I took a 4 year break. So enough about me. Now, the original when I saw Apollo Creed, when I was younger, because I'm almost 50. And when I saw
right.
Apollo Creed, the man I saw, I thought was so good looking. And Michael B. Jordan is too. But when I was in the theater looking at this man, I was like, wow, he's great looking. And you are too. You're very handsome too.
Well, thank you, thank you. Actually, the guy that played Apollo wanted to be in the movie. Well, that was the rumors. I was like, well, wait a minute, dude, you can't be in the movie. Remember, you died. So I was like, oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. So, I mean, had the storyline or the narrative went differently, I would like to have seen him in the movie, but, you know, we got to keep. When I first heard of emailing me, like, yo, and I was like, what is Creed? I kept putting it off. I never put the two and two together. I'm like, what is Creed? What is Creed? And I kept putting it off. And then when I finally responded, I was like, oh, that's what it is. I didn't never put two and two together. So, yeah,
yes,
that's
but
how
you
I
have name credit. You also
yeah,
have name credit in the film. You have name
yeah.
credit. That's something I don't have. I can say I was in those films, but I don't have any name credit. Only thing I have name credit in is Single in the ATL. I don't have anything in a movie database, and I don't need credits on the screen. So some people said, no, you couldn't have been in that. Your name's not anywhere on this or that. No, it isn't, but I was in it.
Well, that's the thing
yeah.
as being an actor or actress, when you come into business and you start off as an extra, and again, I'm not saying everybody starts off as extra. Some people, again, the journey of life is different from everybody. Some people could just get discovered like that and become a star overnight. In a matter of hours. Some people can just come on set for one extra appearance and then all of a sudden they're Brad Pitt. Some people just have to, you know, work their way through the ranks and, you know, move up. But then a lot of people get excited for movies and be like, yo, I was in that movie. And when they're an extra and you go to see it, you're like, man, they took my part out. Trust me, I know how it feels. Like, man, they took my part out. And you tell so many people
yeah.
that you're in it and they don't see your part.
They did
it
to Greenleaf.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to see me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the only thing you can say, well, listen, you know, they paid. I got the check to prove that I was there. They weren't just giving me money just for the sake of giving me money. So.
Yeah, I got the check.
So, yeah.
I got the check. I can prove that Tyler Perry and Miss Oprah Winfrey paid me. I can prove that Kevin Spacey paid me, too, in Manifest of the Manhunt, the serial killer. I can prove all that, but, you know. So did you
right.
get to meet Miss Felicia Rashad?
No, I didn't get to meet her. She came in the following day, but I did have a chance. I keep missing her. I mean, this is a crazy story. They needed me for like 3 days, and they asked me to come back the fourth. I had something else to do. I think on that fourth day she was there. Now, rewind back to some years before, it was a show that was supposed to be called, it was a TV series drama. It was supposed to be, it's called Do No Harm. I don't really know what happened with it or be on that. And I did my part on that, and when they were done with me, just as I was leaving, she was coming in to do her little part. And I was like, oh, man. So that was like twice I was in the same movie or in the same space as her and just missed her by, you know, a day or a couple of seconds or whatever. So I was like, I can never seem to actually meet her.
Oh, my goodness. I would love to meet her. I would love to meet her. I grew up watching her as Mr. Bill Cosby's wife, and I got to watch her play a spinster.
kind of like an old maid show. I like that one. She's a really great actress. I always felt like she should have got an Oscar.
Yeah, but you know, there's a lot of them I feel out there that should get it. But you know, as you know, as time go on, you know, I think they will get one. You know, a lot of them that deserve it will get one.
I hope so. I really do, because she's very talented. So,
Yeah. Did
you know if Mr. Michael, in the movie, did you have to, when you met Mr. Sylvester Stallone, the original Rocky, as I'm calling, what was that like? What was that like? And
It was crazy. I met all of them at the same time, and the way my scene was set up, I was there with them. What was it like feeling wise? I mean, it was exciting, but I wasn't starstruck, you know, head over heels type. Me, it was like, because to me, I looked at them as regular people, and that's how they conduct themselves. Hey, Michael B. Jordan. Hey, homie, what's up, bro? He's talking to me like, me and him grew up with each other. Like, we played in the sandbox. Same thing with Sly. Sly, he's a pretty cool dude, you know. Like I said, all of them were down to earth. Like, the way their energy was like, you wouldn't even think you were in a movie. You were just at your regular 9-to-5 job. And you know what I mean? The only thing was, at that time, they didn't allow no one to take pictures because of what a lot of people do. They will take pictures and post it on the social media, and you're kind of showing the movie. You know what I mean? And then a lot of them signed contracts saying that they won't take pictures and or post it on social media. And at first they would let you take pictures, and then a lot of people, they found out that they were posting on social media, and then they would get in trouble. So, yeah. But I wish I had the pictures that I had.
Yeah, that does happen.
I signed the contract, yeah. And yeah. But I did get to eat with them. That was another thing. A lot of people didn't get to do that. Did get to eat with them, had lunch with them. Like I said, they were a lot of people didn't get to do that. But there were a lot of, you know, like I said, they were guys. You know what I mean? Like I said, they wasn't, oh, I'm a star. No, they just, you know, anybody had questions, even some of the extra that were there. They could just, hey, I want to talk to you about the business. And listen, they took 5-10 minutes out of daytime while they was on break. This is what you should do, and this is that. They were just giving bonus to those who wanted to come into business. So, like I said, they were cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. All right. Well, that sounds great. All of that, though. So, the first Creed, how did you like that one, the 2015 movie?
I like it. I like it. I liked it because, like I said, it showed where the history of Adonis, and it showed Apollo. You know, he had a son, so the legacy of that continues. He lives through his father, but I loved it because he didn't want to use his father's last name to get clout. So he kind of built his own, even though he was in his father's legacy, but he kind of built his own at the same time.
Oh, okay. All right. So basically, what other films have you been in? Talk about those. I want you to talk about them. I'm not going to tell them just yet. I want you to tell them.
Well, I done a film that was local around the area here. It's called Rewind. I play a psycho ex-boyfriend. I end up killing my girlfriend. And I guess some of you ladies can relate. Maybe some fellas too. When you tell that person that is over, and in their mind is not, and they're just popping up and basically stalking you. That was the gist of the movie. But the thing was that Her cousin was a police officer. That was the twist. And someone reported us fighting in the house. I killed her. He searched the house. He found her. And I beat him up to a point where he couldn't. Well, me and him got into a scuffle. And I you know, we was exchanging blows, and we both kind of like knocked each other out. So the movie ended where no one knew what happened. Did he go? Did I die? Did I go to jail? Did I run away? Now, the reason why they call it Rewind is because the police officer lost his memory. You know, he got a concussion during that battle. And he's trying to rewind everything back in his head, what happened. Possibly, maybe he can put the pieces of the puzzle together. But he's trying so hard to put this together, and everything keeps playing in his head. You know what I mean? Gets creep replaying in his head. And he just can't.
Yes.
He just can't put the pieces together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I got a movie now. I got a movie now that I'm working on that I'm supposed to be in. It's called Laundromat. The writer of that and director, they're trying to get that to air on Netflix. I played in this corner where I played a henchman. You know, I played one of the bad guys. It's basically like a mafia slash martial arts film. I did that. I'm doing a couple of plays now. I'm doing a TV series, a web series rather, called Ninth Round. I play a drug dealer in that. The play that I'm in is called Nobody's Perfect. I play abusive boyfriend in that. I'm getting a lot of offers here, there. I'm doing this. I want to take them all, but I can't overbook myself because of time to rehearse this play or that film. You know what I mean?
And you are a working actor. You're a working actor. That's even better. You're a working actor. Because the parts I have are over a period of years. So I'm not working. What's great is you're a regular working actor. You're working. And a lot of people cannot say they're working. You know? So
yeah, I mean, well, sometimes,
you can say you've been in all this and that and all that, but that doesn't really mean it means something, you know, as long as when you have the check stub, I'll give myself that much credit. But what I'm saying is, people can't say they're actually working at it, you know?
Right, right. I mean, working at it consists of many things. I mean, whether you're extra, got a 2-minute part, or one line, or one word, or you're the lead star, or you're the support role. And a lot of people think, well, you know, I don't see you on this, I didn't see you on that. Doesn't mean that person's not working. You may not have been tapping to that line, that wave screen of what they're doing, but they're working. I mean, a lot of these actors, some of them, like even when you hit Hollywood, you may not hear from that person for a while, for maybe 2 years. Doesn't mean he's not working. A lot of them have gone towards and do plays. So they're consistently working. And like I said, plays to me are one of the hardest things to do. If you can do a play, you can do anything else. Not saying that film acting is easier. It's easy, but in my opinion, it's a little bit easier than theater because theater takes so much time and rehearsal. You have to, and you can't mess up. When the day of the big game, you can't mess up. And if you do, you can't show that you messed up.
That is true. One play, I played two roles. Theater is harder, but I enjoyed it more than I do things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it depends. Like I said, sometimes I might get an offer to do a play, and I'd be like, I really don't have that time or really want to put the energy into it because I know for a fact that it takes so much time to prepare, and you know what I mean? And, yeah, I have the ability. There's been a couple of plays that I only had, like, maybe a month or 6 weeks to prepare it because they just asked me the last minute or somebody couldn't do it or bailed out for whatever reason. And I had that little bit of time window to prepare and get focused for it. And I've done it, but I don't like to do it. I like to have that time to build me and the character. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. So like, and film, and the reason why I said film.
You have a lot of rehearsals,
too. Yeah, and you can't miss them. And like I said, film is. Yeah, and film is not easy because you just have to, you know what I mean? You sometimes people that all they do is theater, sometimes they don't get roles in movies because they're over dramatic. Movies, you have to be more natural.
Yes.
So. So I know now plays, but I started to notice now that plays are more like movies now. They start to make them more natural. You don't have to be over the top.
That's true. That is true. You don't have to be real dramatic with film. That much is true, because I started out in a movie called Skip Trace, and then Florida State University student films. I was in about four of those. So before I went on to do a Tyler Perry film.
Right.
So, you know, everything in its time. I did get named credits for those, but, you know, I think it's amazing, though, that everything people can do in its time. Because in the 80s, when I was coming up, in the 90s, 80s and 90s and 70s, there was no internet. There was no mobile phone. So that you have all that, I mean, you have so much opportunity now. And that's why I have my own little digital radio show, because of the internet. I don't believe I'd have a show if it wasn't for the internet, because no one would know I existed, really. You know,
I wouldn't say you wouldn't necessarily have a show. I think the route might have been a little different, might have been a little longer, might have been a little harder. I mean, and that's why I was talking about overnight success. You see a lot of these people, like, I'm only 34, God willing, my life lasts and death pass, I'd be 35 on this St. Patrick's Day in March. When I was growing up, especially the area I'm from, the little area that I was from, was raised in, you, in order to be something bigger than what you were or what that area was, you had to move. I'm not going to say necessarily had to move, but for me, I felt like I had to move. And even when the social media thing started becoming popular, by the time I graduated, it wasn't a thing that everybody jumped to put their music out or put their audition scripts out. You still had to audition. You still had to go into a building and state your name on a recording thing, stand on the X, and then they record you doing a monologue or whatever. And some businesses still keep it, some agencies still keep it that old-fashioned way. But now, these days, like you said, it's easier because now your audition, and for those, I'll let those who know, call reels. The reels are basically your digital resume. So they see all that, you know, when they ask for a reel, that's what they mean, your digital work, your digital resume. They want to see all of that you're doing. And, like, I tell you a prime example. Like, my buzz didn't come along until, I mean, I was getting work, but when I did the audition for the Younger Than Wrestling, and that went live on the news, that's when everybody was like, yo, because I was getting work because people might have saw me at a play or saw me in this locally, and, you know, word of mouth, whatever. But when I auditioned for the Younger Than Wrestlers, and that went live, man, everybody, hey, yo, you know, and it was just to the point where I was saying yes to everything, and I kind of jammed myself up, and that's what I was talking about earlier.
Uh-huh.
Never overbook yourself, because you want to jump on everything. You want to jump on everything and spread yourself thin. So a lot of times now, you know, that was my learning curve experience, because I'm so excited because now everybody's wanting me to be a part of a project. I'm saying, yeah. Listen, I didn't say yeah to 16 projects or 16 to 30 projects, and no, realistically, I could probably only do three.
Okay. All right.
So,
All right.
I mean, for me, I can do three. Some people can't multitask.
But how does your family feel about your success as an actor? How do they feel about it?
Well, I they love it. They actually, like I said, a couple of people in my family that's important to me, they kind of pushed me back out there because I started doing this. Actually, really be honest with everybody, I started doing this actually in the church, and I don't want to sound cliche and all that, like most singers and rappers come from church, but that's basically what it was for me. My grandma used to put me in them church plays. I know everybody that went to church growing up know all about those Sunday, the morning plays and the Christmas plays and all of that. And I used to hate it because I didn't understand what was going on. And it seemed like my grandma would force me to do it. And secondly, when I got to a certain age, my voice was deeper than most of the boys. So I was like, man, I didn't really like my voice. So I was like, this is crazy. So, but, you know, I think that kind of planted the seed, so to speak. And then, you know, fast forward to some years later, about my late teens, I started doing modeling. And, you know, people was like, oh, you should do this, you should do that. So I started doing that. And one day I said, let me try acting. So I started doing a little extra work. And then when I realized that, because when you look at actors on TV, you're like, yo, they did that so well. In your mind, you're thinking, hey, you know what I mean? They don't mess up. But then when I got on set and I seen that they mess up, I'm like, oh, okay, they mess up. So I got a little bit more comfortable. And when I got comfortable, that's when I started doing, I'm more confident in myself as doing a speaking line. So one thing led to another. Then I got frustrated because I wasn't getting no gigs. So then somebody pointed to me and was like, hey, listen, look, you should go back out there. It's something that you want, not going to always come easy. So, let me go back out there. So I went back out there. Because like I said, I went to agency to agency to agent to, it felt like nobody was taking me nowhere but round to the same starting point that I was there before. You know, you meet the agent or the agency, oh, I can take you over here. Okay, yeah, you took me I only moved 2 inches from where I was with the last guy. So there's little things you got to watch out for too as well. But, you know, like I said, you know, okay. I made it here now. Am I to the pinnacle where I want to be?
And you're working.
No, but I'm working, yeah.
You're working. You're working after.
Yeah.
As long as you can get parts and get name credit, that's working. That's working, you know, and you've got your focus back. I can tell by the way you're talking that you have your focus. And Miss Yolanda McIntosh has Sapphire Emerald. She's a publicist. She has the Sapphire Emerald magazine. So you've got the right people, obviously, you know, the right publicist and everything. So
yeah. You're
bound to get more name credit parts.
She pushes you to the edge and said, hey, you know, she basically, when I first joined with her, she said, listen, when we first talked, she said, tell me everything about you, what you've done, where you've been and so forth. And we're going to take you. Trust me, I'm not going to say it's going to happen overnight, but trust me, the energy is going to come. And what you're looking for in the success will come, you know, and don't think of success as, I accomplished that goal for the day. No, we got several thousand other goals to accomplish each day we waking up. So once we do that, hey, you know, the ball start rolling. And she was the type to tell me, you know, hey, you know, first thing she told me, she's like, you have a unique last name. For those who don't know, and a lot of people get scared. They just say Moore. My last name is Quintero Moore. But I'm not anal about it. So she was like, but for the most part, you have that unique last name, and that stands out first of all, first and foremost. And then with your acting, and then, you know, your look that you have all of that. And,
tell
you know,
you
have
your
that
last
talent.
Name.
My last name is Quintero. It's Quintero Moore, but Spanish. Spanish prefix.
J. Quintero Moore.
Yeah, but Spanish. For my Spanish people, it's Quintero Moore.
Quintero Moore.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a K. It's Quintero. You got to roll your tongue. But, again, I'm not anal about it. But I know it's a lot of people that get hesitant. Like some people just don't. They're like, man, I'm going to get your name right. They just don't give up. And everybody interview me, they either scared to say it or they just tell them what it is. They like, well, you know what? I'm going to keep practicing. I'm practicing for the next time I have to interview. But, again, like I said, you know, she took that. And ran with it. She said, because Moore is a common name, but then, you know, your whole name is not common. So, like I said, she ran with that. And like
no,
she said, she just...
No.
She,
you got some pretty curly hair. You got some pretty hair.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And that, again, that was another thing she ran with. She said... Huh?
I said, you got some pretty hair. I'm looking at the photos and things of you. You got some pretty hair.
Well, thank you, thank you. And again, that was, and that's what, again, that was one of the things she looked at my physical attributes and said, just took them. She said, you know, hey, that's a plus, that's a plus, and you can make that work for you. And she says, I see that most of your fan base are women, so you got to kind of contribute to that. So I was like, okay, that's fine. So I, you know, I didn't really realize it until I started looking at my Facebook and my Twitter and all that. And I have a lot of people following me, but then when I realized, I was like, okay, most of the fan base or most of those who follow me or friend requests are women. So I was like, why not use it to my advantage?
yeah. You're very nice looking. You're a very nice looking young man.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you.
That's a plus. That's definitely a plus. Okay, so are you Spanish?
My father is Cuban. My mother's Black and Native American. My father is Cuban.
Cuban. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. And that was one of the reasons why I got into this, because everybody was like, you can play anything. We don't know what we don't really know what you are, but yeah, you play this, you play that.
Yeah, you can play different roles. You can be versatile also. You can be very versatile. So you were a model, and you also own Young and the Restless.
Yeah, I took a stab at the Young and the Restless, which was, I went out there to audition. And how that came about, it was like, yeah, we have an audition for, we're looking for two people for what we're looking for, you know, and we have an audition at the Casino Sugar House in Philadelphia. Come on down. And I went down there, they had a news crew there, so forth, and I did my piece. I did my first audition. And then one of the news anchors, she came to me, she's like, I like how you did that. Stand right there, I'll be back with you. Do you want to run over those lines again with me? So I'm thinking, yeah, sure, you know, why not? Not realizing that the whole time she was going to put me on live. So the camera guy was like, do you want to text your family and friends real quick because you're going on live? I thought he was like, you know how somebody says something to you, but you hear it, but it don't register. You're just like, yeah. It didn't really register until she came back and she started doing like a 7-second countdown. And when she got like to 2 or 3, she was just like, oh, you ready to go live? And I'm like, huh? And it was kind of like a sneak attack. And she just went in and she did her piece or whatever she had for my monologue. And I did my piece. And when I did my piece, it was like, everything fell into its right perspective. And like I said, one thing led to another.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have time to be nervous. I didn't have time to be whatever. I just, like me, I had that. Even with my audition sometimes, or if I'm on set, or if I'm on just doing rehearsal, once the director or writer says action, it's like a green light. I'm like a race car. As soon as that light turns green, I'm on it.
You're also well known for as an actor. Are you a publicist also?
No.
Is this incorrect, sir? Mr. Moore?
Am I a publicist?
Uh-huh.
No, well, I'm like into a Big Brother program.
Oh.
I think that was kind of like, okay. Yeah. So I go out and help young men, you know, me and a few other people. It's like a Big Brother program. Or we go around and talk to young guys that are homeless or whatever. Basically, we have a group of people from each profession that come out and talk to these guys, young kids rather, and explain to them whatever route you choose for a profession, this is what they expect. And then you teach them how to put on a suit and tie a tie. It's just something one of my close friends started with me. He started himself. I just kind of jumped on board, you know.
So... you're also, have you, I believe you have been in This Corner and Laundromat?
Yeah, Laundromat I'm currently working on now, and then This Corner is the movie I done in 2015.
Yes, it was.
Very much so. And you also did Laundromat, something called Laundromat, and it all comes out in the Wash and Fine Wine, I believe it's called, Internet Movie Database here.
I did Fine Wine, and the Laundromat is what we're currently working on now.
Oh, okay. So you've been with Mixnet Marketing for a couple of years, almost for over a year now.
About a year or two, something.
Yeah.
I've done New York Runway, Fashion Week. I've done All Star Fashion Week. So yeah, Miss Mac definitely gets you. She helps you with that work. She basically tells you like, listen, what's a good look, what's not. So she's I've been all over. She's a blessing.
She's a blessing. I believe that.
Yes. Yeah.
I believe that. And you're talented. You're very talented and blessed.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Very talented. All right. So basically, I just want to thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. And I'm glad I could get this interview with you. I apologize. It has been a hurricane. Plus, it's been raining. It stops raining and it starts back, and it rained for 2 days, and it's just a lot of
trust me. I know exactly. I know exactly what you're going through. I know exactly what you guys are going through
and stuff. Yes, sir. I'm having kind of a little bit of a hard time, but I'm gonna get through it. God's gonna bring me through it. So I apologize to you.
Hey,
I apologize.
It's not your business,
my electrical outlets don't all work, and I have to find some that work. And woo, when you go through a hurricane, that was horrible. Hurricane Michael was the worst one yet since I've lived in Florida. This is the worst one. So it was one where the lights stayed up, but the lights were up for some people 7 days, for me 3 or 4 days.
Right.
It's and there are about 42, 43 people that are dead. So
wow.
That's all within an hour to hour and a half from me. The water's an hour away. The beach, Panama City Beach, is an hour away.
Right.
I never
experienced, but I could pretty imagine what it's like, because I lived in Miami back in 2014, and I never experienced it, but the story that I've heard, things that happened prior and afterwards was crazy. Like, I mean, the worst thing we get up here is a snowstorm. So I can imagine, and people, we have people losing lives just by car accidents. So I can imagine what a hurricane, you know what I mean? And you living basically not too far from the beachfront.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I guess you do understand a little bit then about what I'm talking about. This was the worst
thing.
Oh,
I understand.
Yet.
I never experienced
weather,
it, but
and it was in like October, and then after the hurricane was over, it took a couple of weeks later, more rain. Rain for 3 days, rain for 4 days. In this place here where I live at, the county and town I live in, they're going to be busy a very long time repairing things and picking up trees and dervis and, you know, in Panama City, Florida, don't even look like the same place.
Wow.
But the beach, near the beach, that doesn't even look like the same place. There are buildings that are completely down there.
Wow.
I mean, there are places, it doesn't look the same. There are complete buildings down. And dervis down the road, piles of bricks and glass and stuff. So I'm still going through, so I apologize to you. The hurricane was a couple of months ago, but I'm still going through. Look up Hurricane Michael, Panhandle of Florida. You know what I'm talking about, sir.
All right. Like I said, I keep you in prayer, and like I said, you'll come through it, you know. And, you know, this is the time for everybody to get together.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela
Butler. No problem, ma'am.
Stop. You have a blessed day.